Before we get started, we found out it was your birthday, Andre. So happy birthday. Robert was over there trying to learn how to say happy birthday in Hebrew.
Yom Ledet Sameach.
Yom Oledet Sameach.
That's
Very
pretty
good.
close. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny watching him try.
Up to the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed, a final perfect lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought.
Well, there you are, and welcome to Redemption's Table. I'm Robert Barge, your host, and we just listened to another great Ross King song, Hallelujah for the Cross, off Ross's 2013 album, This Hope Will Guide Me. I so encourage you to check out Ross King and tune into all of his music. You can go to rosskingmusic.com, or you can find Ross wherever you stream. And thank you, Ross, for sharing your gifts with us here at the table. And I thought Ross's Hallelujah to the Cross was the perfect intro to where we're going today. We're headed to the playground of the Via Dolorosa. That's how today's very special guest, Andre Mubarak, describes the way of suffering, the path Jesus took from Pilate's hall to his cross on Calvary. Andre and his twin brother, Tony, grew up playing in the streets of Jerusalem, and today they lead groups through their ministry, Twin Tours. Andre is also an accomplished author of several books, and he leads seminars in Israel, the States, and around the world. And not only do we have Andre today, we also have our occasional co-host, Steph Cherry. Steph and her husband, Denby, were on tour with Andre in the Holy Lands 3 months ago. So, for those of you who have been there, and for those of us who have only visited Israel in our imaginations, let's step into Andre's world and join him on the playground and the battleground of the Via Dolorosa. Steph is already in conversation with Andre. Let's join her.
But anyway, so, I mean, I know you through your family, but my first introduction into you was reading your first book, though, One Friday in Jerusalem, right? And so then I did a study, but I think there was about 30 people that came and we all read it together. And it was fascinating to me. I had to read it over and over because I had never gone to any of those places, right? And so I didn't know, get my bearings. I never really thought that I would go. So that was really amazing to me to get to go. So my first question is, what led you to getting to write the book?
Sure. So my name is Andre. As we said, I'm from Israel, from Jerusalem, and I belong to the Maronite community. And I was born and raised inside the Christian quarter. And station number 8 is part of the Via Dolorosa. The Via Dolorosa is where Jesus went all the way from condemnation to Calvary. There are 14 stations. And it happened that my home was from the 8th station of the cross. And I've seen so many people going and doing the Via Dolorosa, the stations. And I've seen people like very sad, holding the cross, like most Catholic groups, holding the cross and praying and very sad. And I've seen a lot of evangelical groups that are so happy and revived and filled with the Spirit and focusing on resurrection. And I thought, like, there should be a balance here. Suffering is part of our walk, and resurrection is another part. We can't focus only on one part. So the idea of writing the book came to me because there is no books in the world speaks about the Stations of the Cross, which is my playground and battleground. And I made this book that focusing on both, because when we have suffering, we will understand resurrection. We can't understand resurrection without suffering. And we can't only focus on suffering and miss the resurrection. So I wrote this book called One Friday in Jerusalem, speaking about the Stations of the Cross. Because I'm from there, so
you have more knowledge than anybody else would have.
Correct, because it's my playground. And since I was a kid, I was watching all these groups, because everyone that comes to Jerusalem, you have to understand that they want to do the Stations of the Cross, and every group, and really to understand the stations from the historical, archaeological, and spiritual perspective, it's very complicated and compiled. So I made this book that when people come, they can hold it and go through it station by station in understanding and grabbing hold of Jesus' first century mindset, the culture, the custom, and the context. I put it all together for much more clarity to the Western church to understand the Eastern way of thinking of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That was very helpful for me, just seeing all the differences. And, you know, some things don't make sense to you because you're thinking of it through your own mind. And so I was like, oh, this all makes sense. And especially when we were there and you would explain things, it opens your brain up to a whole new experience on top of what you already know.
Correct. The Western church, by the way, there's a gap between Eastern mindset and Western mindset. It's not that there is someone right or wrong. No, it's a perspective. Both are correct. But when you have the two ways of thinking, the two perspectives, it will complete the circle of understanding scripture. Because in the West, you've been raised, for example, in Texas, let's say, everything is big. And whenever you come to Jerusalem, you can see, for example, or you go to Galilee, you hear about the Sea of Galilee. It's not a sea, it's a lake. So it's small. And wherever Jesus was, all the way he went from crucifixion to the tomb, in your mindset as Westerner, it's a long distance. No, it's only half a block from the cross to the tomb, because the Eastern mindset is different than the Western mindset. So when you come, and as you came already, Stephanie, it becomes a revelation to you to understand the scripture in its own context.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it really was. And, you know, we've all watched so many movies that make it look totally different. And then seeing it in real life, it's nothing like that. You know, they add more drama, like he walked 80 miles to.
Correct, because most of the movies are from a Western mindset. And but nowadays, The Chosen had done a really good job in doing it in a Middle Eastern way. So it's really the last few years, it's getting way better and better in presenting Jesus through his own Hebraic Aramaic mindset.
Well, that's neat to hear your perspective on that too.
Yeah, because when you think in the West, when you think about Jesus, the first thing come to your mind is theological Jesus or spiritual Jesus. And in the East, when you first think about Jesus, what comes to our mind, the man Jesus, his manhood. So The Chosen has focused on the manhood of Jesus more, both, but more showed the manhood of Jesus in real life. And that's what we think first, because if you grab hold first of Jesus as a man and you understand him like me and you, you will grab hold of him more in the spirit. You will have a deeper understanding, not vice versa.
That's good.
When did it overwhelm you that you were growing up in on the very street where the most significant walk in history took place. When did that connect with you as a young boy?
As a young boy, it connected with me with my dad. My dad raised us really in knowing ancient languages. He taught us really Hebrew and Aramaic. And he took our hands, and me and my twin brother, because we're twins. And for example, he took us to the Sea of Galilee. And he said, play here. I said, what to play? There are only stones. He said, this is where Jesus walked. And then he took us down to the Station of the Cross where we are. Play here. You know these stones. This is from the first century. This stone is from the third century. So he opened our eyes since we were kids, like 7, 8 years old, to appreciate our playground. We took it for granted, but because of my dad, he explained the Bible. He used to put us on his lap, read the Old Testament, read the New Testament. It was very hard for us as young kids, but now I understand why did he do that. He brought also appreciation of what we have.
Wow. How is the awe of living where you live still soaking in, still affecting your life? I mean, it's kind of like you hear people go to a different place, a different setting that everybody else wants to go to. And then that setting becomes second nature. We don't see what we used to see. But how is the awe of living where you live and getting to play on that playground? I love how you put that. How is that still being used of the Spirit of God to stir within you?
The more I travel to the West, the more I travel to Texas or other states, because I'm a teacher too and a preacher, the more I appreciate where I was born. When I go out of my surroundings and see how people look at the promised land from a different angle, from a Western perspective, and help them to understand the Eastern way of thinking, and the more I'm far, the more I appreciate what I have. Because when I am in Israel, in Jerusalem, it's like my home, you know? For example, you live nearby Disney World, right? You will not appreciate Disney World because it's you where you live, not near that area, for example. But Israel is the spiritual Disney World of the world, you know? And all the churches and the sites. So I appreciate it when I am here in Texas far away and seeing how people's lives got touched, like Stephanie, how her life changed when she came to Israel. Because I'm seeing the ripple effect when I'm in this side.
That's good. So you're in America. I saw you're in Alaska. How was that?
That is amazing, Alaska. I can tell you a very short story how it happened.
Okay.
I have also a podcast, and on that podcast, I was praying and telling the Lord, I want a time to finish my fourth book. And I was praying, I want to go to Alaska, because I was watching all these YouTube movies, and in Alaska, it's isolated, and I loved it. And I was praying, Lord, I want to go to Alaska to finish my fourth book. I want a place like this, isolated. So I have an email from a pastor. He said, I listened to your podcast, and I have a basement at my house open for you anytime you come. That was the second day. And the prayers came true, and I was able to stay 1 month in his basement and finishing my fourth book and also touring and seeing how beautiful and extreme is Alaska.
Wow.
I didn't know you were writing there. That's awesome. I'm excited for you. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah. Yes.
What's it about?
The book is about 10 days touring Israel. Everything you learned during the tour and putting it in a book. It's a big book, 500 pages, but it's about 10 days from Jesus' birth to his resurrection from the Hebraic Aramaic mindset of Jesus. So when people after touring the land, there's too much information. They forget mostly. I hope like they remember only 10%, because after 2 hours of information, your brain will stop receiving. And then so I put everything in a book that I can give it to them, and they will never forget their experience, or they will enrich and go back to the notes and understand Jesus in his Middle Eastern mindset.
Yeah, Steph's been there, obviously. I have not. For someone who wanted to come to Israel, what would you recommend as far as how long to actually be there and stay? If a person could come and stay any particular length of time, what would be your suggestion?
For a trip, it's around from 10 days to 2 weeks. And start if you want, like your first, the Lord will put it on your heart. Like he will ignite a revelation to you that you want to come connect with the community or connect with the church that they want to come to the Holy Land. And they will start to prepare for the tour, and they start to give you books and resources to read. And I recommend you to read from scripture, starting from the book of Matthew, because when you come, the scripture will come alive as to just refresh your memories. And then do several meetings and then come to Israel.
Then you come.
Yeah, connect. Yeah. Connect with the church, connect with the community that is coming. And there's now a rise of churches that want to come to Israel, especially after, like, it's been very, like, the last few years was very hard to travel. And now traveling is open. And now there is no empty room in the inn. All over Israel is fully booked. There is no low season, high season. So many groups are coming to Israel nowadays. Wow. Of churches, especially from Texas area too.
You brought up, you know, you had the low travel, and you used that to like create a whole online presence and do an academy, which is amazing. So can you tell us about that?
Yes. Also, that's a good point. Before you travel, we made during the last few years, because we love to be with people, me and my twin brother, and suddenly there's no one visiting Israel. And we got the idea to present all our teachings online. For 2 years, me and Tony had invested to collect all our teachings and put it online. We have 12 courses, and each course represents different teachings. For example, there's one course only speaks about the geography of the Bible. For people who did not visit and they want to see the land and get prepared before their visit, we suggest this for churches. And it's 10 lectures, 10 lessons. We take you to the site, we teach you the geography, and everything is online. And then geography is important to understand, because there's a relation between geography and the Word of God and Scripture. There's other courses such as reading Aramaic or reading the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. I teach Aramaic for Westerners. I know it's very hard, but I do the biblical Aramaic so they can learn the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. Then I teach also another course, biblical Hebrew. Anyway, there are so many teachings online that prepares you to understand Jesus through the Middle Eastern eyes. And the website is www.twinstours.com. And people go to the courses and you're going to learn a lot. And it's a good preparation. And even after you visit the land, because we can't give you these 10 days, we don't have enough time to give you information. So people get bombarded with a lot of like information, and we have more to give. So we presented more information on the website too, as a resources, a lot of resources.
Right. Yeah. I know a lot of people from my church are doing it, and they love you. They love learning from you because you have a great way of making complex simple.
Yeah.
You know, so it's lovely.
Yeah. Simplicity is a key for abundance. The more we make things simple, the more the Bible will become clear. So Jesus was very simple, teaching simple people. So if we go back to the first century teachings, it's very simple. But today, we make it more complicated. We make it hard, theology. But the key is the languages. When you understand the languages, you understand the simplicity of Scripture of the first century. It was very simple.
Yes, we're missing that. And we're confusing people.
Yeah, especially nowadays, I see I've been touring from different states and teaching. I see how many people are busy. They are so busy because there's so many options, which is great, but they're missing the simplicity of life. They're missing how to live in the present. They're missing how to live the moment, the present reality, because the distractions are so many here and mm-hmm. so many options. But anyway, yeah, if we go back to simplicity of life, it brings us to our roots, to our identity, to who we are by being simple. That is the key message of Jesus too.
That's so good. Those were some of my favorite things in Israel, was the simplicity of the tour, and then how we ate and fellowshipped. And in America, you feel like you're always with people, but you're not being relational. Correct. You know? And so you're surrounded, so you feel like you have community, but we're so busy in it. So it was so nice just to sit. And even people I've known for years, I got to have deeper relationship with because of the culture of where we were eating and the time we took to do it and, you know, how we did it.
Correct, because when you come to Israel, it's simple. It's simple, straightforward. You be yourself. And it's all relationships and communities here. So you build a healthy community and a healthy relationship. So when you came with the group, you had time because you're not distracted by so many options around you. So you have mm-hmm. the time to get to know people better. And you get to your core, who you are, to your identity. And this is when people's lives get changed, when they get together, know each other's in an outside environment that is less complicated, mm-hmm. that is very genuine. So the land of the Bible is real. So it become the reality of your lives, the reality of Scripture. And when you expose to the reality of Scripture, your life will be exposed to who you are. So you can feel free to share and have revelation with people.
That's good. Yeah. People were a lot more vulnerable on our trip, which was wonderful for me because, you know, I don't know what it is about our culture, but we just keep these little walls around ourselves and we don't really let people in. So
yeah, Israel, the walls are taken away and it's more safe. I think you feel safe in another mm-hmm. place outside your world. So the more you feel safe, the more you will be yourself. So people can be themselves when they come and visit the land. Mm-hmm. And not because we are straightforward, we don't care. It's the shortest to get the truth, you know. In the West, in general, they want to be politically correct and respectful and not to hurt someone. But that's the shortest way to be yourself and understand who you are by being simple. Who you are, just be who you are. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, without any masks or any different ways of thinking or go the extra mile to be much more. It's good to be respectful, of course, but not protective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is too. The wall came down of the protection. So people were looking for Jesus and looking for him to meet their needs in ways that they don't normally. And so that made them more vulnerable to our community, our group, where we are all together.
Yeah, this is what Israel do to you. It brings you back to your core, to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why many people's lives get touched and changed, because they discover a new way of thinking to become much more like, because when you see the Bible, you read the Scripture, you see the sight, it become real and alive. So you can connect, your spirit will connect with Jerusalem or with the sights or with the holy city. You're going to feel there's home. You are home. This is part of you.
That's good. So what is some place that you love to go there? Like your spot?
I have two favorite places.
Okay.
My favorite place in Jerusalem is the Garden of Gethsemane. Because Gethsemane, I don't know if you know, in Aramaic means Gat Shmanim. In Aramaic and Hebrew, Gat means press, Shmanim means olives, olive press. Because this is a real location, archaeologists, historians, and scholars, biblical scholars agree that this is the real location where Jesus was pressured like a piece of olive, and he was so much pressed, and the anointing came out, the oil is the olive press. So the Garden of Gethsemane is one of my favorite places. It's a real place. And then the other favorite place is in Galilee, in Kfar Nahum. You say Capernaum, we say Kfar Nahum. Kfar means a town. Nahum means comfort, place of comfort, Capernaum. And this is where Jesus found comfort. And this is approved by archaeologists, by biblical scholars, and by scripture, the right location. We have evidences that this is the right location. So these are my two favorite places that I love to be there and guide and teach groups about the hometown of Jesus in Galilee and the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and his sweat turned to blood and he went to start the way of the cross, the Via Dolorosa, to crucifixion.
That's amazing. I love it. Yeah, I love the Garden of Gethsemane was one of my highlights. Oh, I try to explain it to people, like you can feel prayers going up and down. You can just feel the Holy Spirit ministering in these places. And some of them were just overwhelming, you know, just feeling that ministry and the speaking back and forth. So it was very powerful and lovely to go there.
Yeah, people's lives get touched, especially when they read the scripture and they will understand the scripture deeper. They know the scripture very well, but it become much more alive for them. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I told everybody this, the highlight of my tour was how y'all framed everything for us to keep us on pilgrimage. Keep us not, we're not there to sightsee, we're there to, you know, receive and give, we're there to pray and receive, and then put just saying that scripture over us and ministering to us in each place. Oh, it was just so lovely. Y'all did an amazing job.
Yeah, there are many groups that tour the sites, but there's a difference between touring the sites and having a pilgrim. Pilgrim is you more connect yourself to the site, to the scripture, because it's more a faith life journey. You know, touring like Disney World, you go to Disney World, you tour Disney World, and you see it, you do all that, and then you have joy, right? But when you tour the real Disney World, the Jerusalem, Israel, you will have more the real joy, you know, you will have the real passion that it becomes a faith journey. It's like it become your faith, the measures of faith increases. I can say when people come to visit the Holy Land, their measures of faith increases.
That's beautiful.
You take more time at different sites because of what you do instead of just touring? Because when I think tour, I think fast. Be there. I've seen it. Let's go to the next spot.
Yes, what we do, really, we go with the flow of the Spirit. For example, we were at place at the upper room and the Spirit of the Lord was there. So we had to enjoy his presence. And sometimes God's presence show up and one of the people groups get touched and they want to share. Of course, we go with the flow. That's what is Israel. We go with the flow. We go with where is needed. So we have a program. Like ABC, like the West-like programs, I deal with so many pastors that want, see this, 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 this. I say, okay, sure. But I tell them, be aware, when we come to Israel, things will change. You have to go with the flow, not only be flexible and not only, you have to be fluid too. So they don't get it until they come to Israel. So we go with the flow, yes. And there's some sites we spend more time when we see how God's hands is working in people's lives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a moment? I was thinking with you, has there ever been a moment when you were just overwhelmed by Jesus, his presence?
I had so many moments in my life. And the one Friday in Jerusalem, the book, I mentioned a few stories about some milestones, how Jesus saved my life. And then since then, I knew I had a calling on my life. And that was a divine moment where the Holy Spirit saved me. And I was like in year 2000, I was in the middle of downtown West Jerusalem. And, you know, sometimes you have a gut feeling there's something wrong going to happen. And that was during the second intifada with all the bomb attacks. And then I was there and was so crowded, and a voice came to me, Andrea, move right now. So I didn't listen. I thought my friend was with me. He's talking to me. But the same voice came another time, very clear and like an order, Andrea, move right now. I didn't listen to. And then I felt someone pushing me to the other side. I looked, my friend is far. And he's following me. And then 5 seconds later, a bomb attack took place. 9 people died. So, yes, this is why I said Israel is our playground and battleground. But when you walk with God, there's divine moments that you know that he saves you, even if you're in the middle of darkness, because he has a plan for you. And when you're obedient to him, he will send you to these places, but save you and protect you. And that was divine moments that I knew God have a calling on my life. And that's what the main reasons I wrote the book One Friday in Jerusalem.
That's the name of the book, One Friday in Jerusalem.
Correct.
Okay. I guess you didn't write the book One Friday in Jerusalem. That'd be a hard task.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to share, Andre? Anything you want people to know?
I would like to share that I want to encourage people who listen to this podcast, connect to your church, connect to your community. And as a believer, as a Christian, you need to come to the Holy Land. I know many people go to Disney World. Don't go to Disney World first. It's so expensive. Come to the Holy Land. It's less expensive. And enjoy the Holy Land and do a trip there, you know, and come and see how your heart will change. And nothing is like Israel. Nothing is like the promised land. And connect to your church, connect to a community or a church that's visiting, and come and visit Israel. It will change your life. That's what I can tell people. And I would like to share one more thing, that I am on a teaching tour. So every year I go to a teaching tour and I do seminars and I teach Jesus through the Middle Eastern eyes. So I'm excited about my next teaching tour in actually COK. They're going to be teaching 3 days, about 3 lectures for people to understand Jesus' mindset and his heart in a better way. So I'm excited about now the next phase of where God is taking me to is more staying in the stateside to teach people, because they are hungry to understand the Hebraic and the Aramaic of Jesus' mindset. And because I know languages, so it happens that I am able to reach the Western church to understand about Eastern Christianity. So I'm excited about this stage in my life to be teaching seminars wherever I go.
Yeah, I think it's so needed, because in our Christian American culture, we're getting so soft and removed from all the things that God wants to do. And for someone to come back in and speak truth into our culture is so needed. We need a prophet, you know, to come back in and say the things, that the hard things.
Yeah, we need to understand the words of Jesus in its own context, culture, and customs. That will bring a revelation to the Western church to understand the identity of Jesus. I think in general, I'm saying in the West, in general, I'm not trying to judge or anything, the church have identity crisis. They don't know where they started, who they are, because they're affected by the Greek way of thinking. But when you go back to the Hebraic and Aramaic Jesus way of thinking, you're going to have no identity crisis. You're going to have full revelation and clarity and confirmation of who you are, what is needed to do in the church. You're going to have solid foundation of scripture.
Awesome. Yes. That's what we need.
We're grateful to have you come to the table today. I hope that many hear this particular episode will be in contact. How do they get in contact with you?
They can go to the website, twinstours.com, and a pop message will come up, and they can sign their email. And then they will receive free teachings about the differences between the Eastern and the Western way of thinking. So the website, again, is www.twins, winstourstours.com, winstourstours.com. And there's a lot of resources, a lot of free courses. There's a complete academy there that just they need time. Only they need time. And also they can check also online, also my name and my books on Amazon. So they are all over social media. I'm using now, I'm learning actually to use Western technology to reach and teach about Eastern Christianity.
Wow. Well, thank you for being here, and look forward to hopefully seeing you one day face to face.
Yes.
One final question. Where are you eating today in Texas?
Okay. I just want to tell you today is my birthday, so it's a special day. So I talked to Marie. I want to have something special, probably seafood or something special here.
Ooh. Mm.
That sounds good. I'm going to say it again. Yeah, I'm going to let it smear. Happy birthday.
So, close enough.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, yes. Thank you, Andre. Thank you, staff, for setting this up. So,
yes. Thank you, Andre.
And for those of you tuning in, we look forward to seeing you back here next week at Redemption's Table. Until next time.
Now proclaim hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. What good I've done could never save my debt too great for deeds to pay. But God, my Savior, made a way, hallelujah, for the cross. A slave to sin, my life was bound, but all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, guide me into death.